for the literally hundreds, if not thousands, that are online tonight that are struggling, feeling hopeless, as Gary must have felt, as Heather must have felt, as many do feel tonight, because of addiction, because of affliction, because of woundings in your life, because of habits you can't break, because of a sense of worthlessness in your own heart, a sense of hopelessness. I have good news for you tonight. I've got a message for you. In John chapter 11, the scripture says there was a man that Jesus loved and he got sick. And you have to understand that God loved you, always has loved you. His love for you has been constant. He loved you so much that you have been, whether you knew it or not, the focus of his attention. The Bible says God so loved the world, that is you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, God did not send his son into the world to condemn you who are struggling, who are afflicted, who are in trials beyond your natural ability to endure. He sent his son to save you. He sent his son to set you free. He sent his son to do something in your life that you cannot do for yourself. That the testimony that God will plant within you, like with Heather and Gary, is not about you. It's not about you just deciding to encourage yourself, because you can't encourage yourself out of some forms of struggle and bondage. No, God came to you when you had lost all hope. When Jesus heard that his friend was sick, he said, he decided to wait until he died. Isn't that amazing? He waited until he died. Could have gone, could have spoken a word from where he was. He could have brought healing way, way back, but he decided not to. He decided to wait until his friend Lazarus was dead. But he made a profound statement. He said, this sickness is not unto death. In other words, this problem is not going to lead to a complete defeat, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. In other words, I'm going to let you get to the place where you know there is no hope for your life. And when you get there, I'm coming to you. And I'm going to set you free, sovereignly, supernaturally. I'm going to touch your life. And so Lazarus died. And everybody around him was mourning. And that's where many may find themselves tonight that are listening to me online. You're mourning. Everybody around you is mourning. Oh, so sad for poor old so-and-so. What a disaster his or her life turned out to be. Such promise when they were young. But they got sick with sin, you see. Something got a hold of her mind. Something got a hold of his life. Something got a hold of their thinking. And they just more or less just kept spiraling down and down and down. And even though they were crying out for help and deliverance, seemingly it didn't come. And now it's too late. And some of you are finding yourself in a place where people are just mourning over you. And the whole story of those that have been close to you for most of your life is so sad, too bad, too late. Nothing can be done now. The addiction is too strong. The bondage is too deep. The pattern has gone on for too long. When Jesus finally shows up, as he's done for you tonight, Jesus has come to you tonight. When Jesus shows up, he starts speaking truth. He starts saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And he starts asking the religious community around him, do you believe this? And everybody starts putting it into the future. Well, yeah, one day, somewhere, sometime in the future. You see, if you keep putting it in the future, you don't have to deal with it now. You can push it away. You don't have to deal with your unbelief. And they start quoting scripture back at the Lord himself. Yeah, one day he's going to rise. I know that. It's written in the Bible. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. I know that. He's going to live one day. But Jesus is saying, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You would see that which only God can do happen in your life. If you would believe, if you would believe tonight that God is able, through his son Jesus Christ, to open your prison door, to strengthen your weakened body, to deliver you from oppression, to give sight to your blinded eyes, to show you the treasure of something he did on the cross 2,000 years ago, a victory that he's willing to make yours tonight. He's willing to give it to you. If you will believe. If you will hear the sound of his voice, and when you hear his voice, you just get up and start moving towards him. Forget about what other people are saying about you. Poor Lazarus is dead in the grave. Jesus shows up to give him life. And his sister, who's filled with religion, all she can say is, well, Lord, I know you want to do good, but he stinks by now. So I guess my message is for everybody who stinks tonight. You know, I stink. You feel that way inside. I stink. I must be an ill savor to God. I mean, how could God care about me? The decay of sin is so set into my life. I've been so long laying here like this. I've done so much. I've said so much. You don't know, Pastor, where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how vile it's been. You don't know how it stinks. I stink. And surely I must stink in the sight of God. I want to remind you of something tonight, sir and ma'am. Jesus Christ said he didn't come to save those who are already clean. He came to save those who are sinners. He came to save those who know they need a Savior. And so all around this man is unbelief. Nobody believes his life could ever change. And Jesus says, roll away the stone. Roll away that sentiment that says there's no hope. Roll away that barrier that separates you from the living God. Roll it away. The scripture says he stood on a hillside with a loud voice. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He called a dead man out of the grave. Now, nobody can hear him. Everybody's making excuses as to why the power of God no longer exists at that time or couldn't exist. Isn't it ironic that it's only a dead man who could hear the voice of God? I don't know where he was. I don't know how far down he was. I don't know what level of depravity or death he was in. All I know is that suddenly he started to hear the voice of God calling him. Gary heard the voice of God. Heather heard the voice of God. My question to those online tonight is, do you hear the voice of God calling you? Do you hear him calling your name? When nobody else around you can hear it, but there's something inside that says, God is calling me. I hear him calling my name. I hear him calling me out of death and into life. I hear him calling me out of bondage and into victory. I hear him calling me out of hopelessness into hope, out of confusion into straight thinking. I hear him calling me, and I don't care who else can hear it. I hear it. I don't care if I stink, I'm getting up and I'm moving towards his voice. And he came walking out of that place of death, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He told the, that's the job of the church. That's the job of you getting into a Bible study, you finding good Christian friends, you beginning to pray together in your home. When you do that, all of these death clothes that wanted to wrap you up and declare you dead start losing their power. And the new life of Christ begins to be yours. That's why the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament said, today, if you can hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't say it's too hard for God. Don't say it's good for somebody else, but not for me. Don't do that. Don't deny that God loves you. Don't deny that God has a purpose for your life. God raised Lazarus from the dead and then seated him at his own table. And the Bible says that many came. Not just because of Jesus, they came because of Lazarus that Jesus had raised from the dead. He took this man who stunk and made him an evangelist. That's what God does. That's who God is. I'll tell you one thing. Lazarus didn't need a fancy sermon. Lazarus didn't need a theological degree, as good as that might be. Lazarus didn't need a certificate on the wall. All he had to do is tell people, I used to be dead, and now I'm alive. That was good enough. So we're living in a generation where a lot of people have died. Their hope has died. Their strength has died. Their families have died. Their marriages have died. Their kids have died. Everything around them seems to be filled with death. What a wonderful opportunity for the Son of God to show his glory one more time. You say to me, Pastor, what's required of me? Get up. Move towards his voice. That's all. That's it. Get up and move towards his voice. Wherever you are, whatever you find yourself in. And you're not going to be just an ex-drug addict or an ex-prostitute or an ex-successful but lost businessman. You're going to be now what God calls you. Your life is going to be set on a new course with a new purpose, with new strength, a new vision, a new song, a new heart, and a new mind. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. If I were where you are tonight, some who are listening online, I would say this prayer. God, in Jesus' name, touch my life and use me for your glory. Do something in my life so profound that people who knew me and didn't believe I could ever change will begin to give glory to your name because of what you have done in me and done through me. I yield my life to this purpose as I have formerly yielded my life to drugs and addictions and sin. I turn from it now and I yield my life to you as my Lord and my Savior. If you will do that, you watch what God will do. We will have evangelists again in our generation like this country has never seen, and your country has never seen. We'll have people who actually know God. They don't just talk about him, they know him. There is a big difference between the two. Praise be to God. I want you to see with me, men and women tonight, online with us who are all alone at home, afflicted and addicted, coming to life in Christ. I want to see this testimony of Heather and Gary multiplied 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000. I want Heather and Gary's testimony to be a raindrop of a coming thunderstorm. That Jesus Christ will be honored again in our generation. That there will be testimonies raised up that are irrefutable of the love and the power of God. The churches once again will be filled, and if they won't receive it, then homes will be filled with people who will give God praise and shout into the heavens and thank God for what he has done. And there will be other outreaches in our towns and our cities of people that were formerly hopeless and the community knew it, but now are out there winning young people to Christ. That would be what God will do in our generation. Let that be the testimony.